Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Thank you, John, and Merry Christmas. And Merry Christmas to all of you who've tuned in today to Good News here on Catholic Spirit Radio. I'm Deacon Al. I'm an ordained deacon of the Catholic Church of the Diocese of Peoria. Having been a teenager once myself and having raised a young man who was a teenager, I know that sometimes the Catholic Church doesn't do a great job of speaking to teens. And I think it's important that we remember that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, speaks to everyone. It's not just for your parents or for other adults, but for young men and women of all ages. We all have joys as well as challenges in our lives, and there are lessons of great truth and wisdom that God brings to all of us through the inspired writings of sacred scripture. I remember as a teenager feeling at times like the church was, well, it wasn't a lot of fun. But since then, I've learned that the church isn't all about rules. It's about hope and charity and forgiveness, respect for other people, and a personal dignity for ourselves as children of God. I think those are all things that we can use in today's world. So we're going to do a few things today. We're going to look at the gospel for this weekend, which is the gospel on the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. We're going to answer some questions out of the mailbag. If you have questions about the Catholic faith, you can send them to goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com, and we'll be pulling questions out of the mailbag and answering those later on. We'll also talk a little bit about the Mass and about some specific portion of the Mass, why it's there, and what it means. So let's begin with a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it was written in the law of the Lord. Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate of the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout and awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84, and never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to whom all were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. So that's the gospel story that's being read all over the world this weekend. The Christmas season is indeed a time of surprises, and not just the surprises that we find unwrapping our presents from underneath the Christmas tree. There are other surprises that can easily go unnoticed because they're right there in front of us every Christmas. These are the surprises found in the story of the Nativity of Christ. These surprises come to us from God, who seems to enjoy surprises, and we can join with him in being willing to hear the scripture with fresh ears. The first surprise is that God chooses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Consider this: who among us, when faced with a problem, would choose a solution that would take centuries to work out? How about one that involves people who are just as likely not to follow instructions as to follow them? or maybe pick a solution where we choose people completely out of their depth to play key roles. Not many of us if we were God. Instead, most of us would simply force a resolution upon all the people in creation, whether they liked it or not. No messing around, just solve the problem. Fortunately, God is not like us. Our God is a God of creation, a God of patience and mercy, a God who likes to surprise us. When confronted with a creation that had gone astray, God chose a family to begin his work of healing. The second surprise was that God likes to come in the most unlikely manner. Many in the temple that Mary and Joseph entered to consecrate Jesus believed that their Savior, their Messiah, would come in power and glory and might. How else were the Romans to be expelled from their land, the false King Herod overthrown, and the priesthood purified? Such tasks require a great heroic figure, right? Well, not for God. No, God entered the temple as a rather helpless infant. Now, who is going to notice that? Well, surprise, there's Simeon and Anna, who through the years of devotion and God's grace were able to see the surprise that God had in store for his people. Jesus, just a baby, was to be a light to all people and bring redemption along with the contradiction. To see that in the child Jesus, there must have been a surprise to everyone in the temple that day. Even Mary and Joseph were probably shocked that their secret was out. God all the while must have been smiling about the surprises that he'd just sprung on everyone. Our families today can learn much from this reading. What surprise does God hold in store for you and your family? If God can work through such unlikely people as Abraham and Sarah, Simeon and Anna, God can surely work through you and your family just as easily. So maybe if we look at each other as possible candidates for God's surprising work, we may just be amazed at what we see. Let's just trust in ourselves and our families, flawed though we may be, and allow the Christian promise to come out. That would truly be a blessed Christmas season. And that's what I hope for all of you. Have a wonderful, joyous Christmas. And remember that this is about Christ. This is about the light of the world coming to earth to be with us personally. It's easy to get caught up and distracted by the gifts and the lights and the partying. But take a moment every day this Christmas and remember, this is about Christ doing something wonderful for us and asking him what wonderful thing can we do for him in return. I'll be back in just a few minutes.
Stay tuned. Good news will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Here's an easy way to donate to Catholic Spirit Radio. As an Amazon shopper, you can donate 0.5% of your purchase cost to Catholic Spirit Radio, also known as 2820 Communications. Before making a purchase, you will always need to log into smile.amazon.com, search and select 2820 Communications, or choose this charity under account settings. Thank you for supporting Catholic Spirit Radio through 2820 Communications with your Amazon Smile purchase.
Welcome back to Good News. I'm Deacon Al Lundy, an ordained deacon here in the Catholic Diocese of Peoria. And Good News is a weekly program that airs here on Catholic Spirit Radio Saturday and Sunday evenings at 8 p.m. We're pointed more at teenagers, but we welcome everyone anyone who would like to listen in. We're going to talk about the gospel and opening the gospel up. We'll talk about the Mass and the portions of the Mass. And we're also going to answer your questions. You can send questions into our mailbag at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. And every week we'll take a couple questions and answer them here on the air. So to talk about some questions that have come in, one question we have was, what happens to our soul when we die? And that's a great question. That's a question that has been asked by mankind from far before even the Jewish faith existed, certainly far before Christianity. I think it's God writes his story, his presence on the hearts of mankind. And so even earliest man wondered, what's next? What happens after I leave here? So I can tell you what the Catholic opinion is, because not everyone shares the same view. We draw our opinion, our teachings on this from both Scripture and from oral lessons that have been passed down through the apostles. So what happens to the soul? So we believe the soul is created at the moment of conception. This is what makes abortion such a heinous act in the Catholic Church, because from the moment you're conceived, you carry with you the ability to know and be in a loving relationship with God, and that is such a special gift to see destroyed. So we receive our soul at conception. Our soul then develops through our life. It's enriched by our lives. It's enriched by our prayer, by our faith. It's enriched by the sacraments that we receive through the church, the sacraments left the church by Christ. So that soul is our metaphysical connection to God. It's the presence of God in our body. And being metaphysical, it doesn't have a shape, it doesn't have a form, it doesn't have a color, it doesn't have a weight. It's a spiritual bonding to all of us. It's not like if we lost a part of our body, we would lose our soul. For that to happen, it would have to actually be connected to something. But this isn't a physical presence, it's a metaphysical presence. So at the time of our death, what we define as death in the Catholic Church is the moment when the soul and the body then separate. So if life is when soul and body come together, then death is when soul and body separate. The body goes to the ground. It goes to corruption. But the soul, we believe, goes to a particular judgment, our personal judgment before Christ. And that judgment is one of heaven or hell, smoking or non-smoking. Those are the only two choices in our faith. You're going one place or the other. Now, if you're going to hell, it's not that God sends you to hell. Hell is a choice. We've talked before about the importance of decisions. When you decide in life that you want to be separated from God, God grants you that choice through eternity. Just as when you choose to be with God in life, God grants you that choice through eternity. God doesn't send you to hell. God allows you to go to hell. It's a choice you can make, or it's a choice you can choose not to make and to choose God instead. So if you've chosen in life to be separated from God, then that's what will happen for all of eternity. We call that hell. We call it hell because think of how painful the torment that a soul would go through knowing that a loving God existed and that you would now by your own acts be separated from that love forever. So that's the torment of hell. It's not necessarily a physical location as it is a state of the soul. It's a spiritual state of deprivation. Where on the other hand, heaven is the spiritual state of fulfillment, of the ultimate joy, the ultimate love that a soul can contain. So in that particular judgment, it's heaven or hell. If it's heaven, it could be immediate entrance or it could be a delayed entrance, what we call purgatory, a state of purgation where the soul is purified. So perhaps you did not die in a state of mortal sin, complete separation from God's love, but you died in a state of venial sin, where you had done damage to that relationship with God. So purgatory is the opportunity for that relationship to be made whole again. Is that necessarily a pleasant experience? Christ likens it to the purification of gold. So how do you purify gold? You stick it into an extremely hot fire, and you burn out the impurities until the only thing left is the purified gold. And that's how we understand purgation, purgatory to be. It's a time where the soul goes through some sort of an anguish in order to make up for the damage done to that relationship, to purify yourself in order to come before God in heaven. So that's the Catholic view of what happens to our soul when we die. We go through a separation of soul from body. Body goes to corruption. Soul goes to judgment. From judgment, we go to heaven, hell, possibly with a stop in purgatory. Then at some point in time, and we don't know when this will be, Scripture tells us that only God the Father knows when this will happen, but there will be a second coming of Christ, an end to this world. And we believe that when that happens, those who have not died will have immediate judgment, heaven or hell, and that all souls will then be reunited with a glorified body. And we understand this through the very resurrection of Christ on Easter, where Christ was reunited with his physical body, but it wasn't the same body that he died with. It had the ability to do things that his normal body, his mortal body, could not do. So we believe that at some point that our soul and our bodies will be reunited on that final day. What that will be like, what all that entails, we just don't know. All we know is that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and man has not even conceived of what awaits those who love God. So that's our question from the mailbag this week. Again, we invite you to send in your questions about your Catholic faith to goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. So let's talk about the Mass. Let's talk about one of my favorite parts of the Mass, and there's so many beautiful parts of the Mass, but there's one that I find great meaning in that I think often goes unnoticed by the congregation, and that's the offertory. Most of us think of it, it's time to get out the envelope, or it's time to see what change I have left in my pocket. The offertory has so much more than that. I want you this Sunday to pay attention to what's happening. Well, you know, I have to change that because we're in COVID, and COVID has changed my Mass. It's changed my favorite part of the Mass. Normally in the Mass at offertory, what happens is members of the congregation will bring up the bread and wine to the altar to be consecrated for communion. And this is a really neat moment when you think about it, because the bread started as grain, started as wheat, the wheat of the field given to us by God, the plants that were created by God. And we took that creation, and through the efforts of man, we improved it into bread. And now we take that bread that we've worked hard to create, that we would normally use to feed ourselves, and we give it back to God on the altar as our sacrifice. And God takes that bread and perfects it into the body of Christ and gifts it back to us. He gives us the grapes, the fruit of the vine, a creation of God. And mankind takes it, and through human effort, we improve it into wine. And then we give that wine back to God as our sacrifice at the altar. God accepts that and now perfects it into the blood of Christ and gives it back to us in the communion. So there's this beautiful exchange of gifts back and forth between mankind and God. So when you say, well, I really don't see God, you see God in the Mass. You have this personal exchange every Mass with God. And when you think about it, we do the same thing in life I see this whenever one of the great things that we get to do as deacons is perform baptisms. There aren't many sacraments that we get to be part of, but baptisms we do get to celebrate. And of course, I'm not baptizing them. The Holy Spirit is, but I get to be there to call the Holy Spirit into play for the baptism. So when you think about it, God gives us ourselves as his creations. Through human effort and God's grace, we create with God a new life, a child, who we then give to God through baptism as our sacrifice, who God takes and cleanses of all sins, including yes, including original sin. Thank you. I had a little mind blank at the time. Takes away original sin and gives that child back to us as a completely new child. So again, baptism is this wonderful exchanging of gifts with God. So every time I see offertory, I think of my baptism. I think of the baptisms I've been able to be a part of. I think of the baptisms coming up. So that offertory is really this wonderful interchange, this wonderful exchange with God himself happening during the Mass. So think about that this Sunday as you see that. If you've never been part of the offertory and you're wondering how to do that, it's really easy. You just have to ask. That's it. Just say, I'd really like to bring up the gifts sometime. And the different parishes arrange that different ways. But no one's going to say, no, you can't. So this is a great way if you want to become part of the Mass. And I think participating in the Mass opens us up to understanding the Mass more. So please, if you've never done this before, it really is a wonderful moment. Volunteer yourself to be part of the Mass, to bring up the gifts to offer at the altar on behalf of our congregation and on behalf of your parish. Okay, we're going to take a short break here. We'll come back and we'll wrap things up for this session of Good News. See you soon.
Stay tuned. Good News will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
In 1 Corinthians 13:13, St. Paul says, "So there abide faith, hope, and love, these three." According to St. Ignatius of Antioch, faith is the beginning and love is the end. And God is the two of them brought into unity. Then comes everything else that makes up a Christian. May God grant that we may attain all the virtues that make for authentic followers of his Son.
Welcome back to Good News. I'm Deacon Al, and I want to talk to you a little bit about the effects of COVID on church attendance. As you can well imagine, it has decimated church attendance, which is understandable in some ways and really, really sad in other ways. It is so sad to see a Mass with just a few people at celebrating with us. We've been very fortunate in the parish I serve that a small number for us is about 60 or 70, but a large number is about 150, and we're talking a church that can easily hold six times that amount. So the churches are very empty right now during COVID, and I totally understand if you're in a high-risk situation or if someone in your home is ill, absolutely, stay home. Watch the Mass online. I'd like to say there are hundreds of people watching our Mass that we stream, but that's not the case either. So I think we're creatures of habit, and COVID has allowed us to get into some very bad habits when it comes to worship. We miss you at church, and hopefully you miss the Mass. I know that for many people, the Mass is the center point of their worship, and it should be. It's the highest form of worship we have in the faith. But COVID has affected us in so many ways in life. But I see people making an effort to go out to eat, but I don't see them making that same effort to go to Mass. I go to the hardware stores in town, and I see parking lots that are filled with cars, but I don't see our parking lot at church filled with cars, and that breaks my heart. We're doing everything we can within the church to keep you safe, to keep you healthy. We're using social distancing. We have every other pew closed off. We're making sure everybody sanitizes. We're doing everything we can to keep people healthy. Please pray about this. Discern over this. Find a way to get to Mass once a week, preferably for Sunday Mass. God misses you, and we miss you, and we hope you'll find a way to come. In the meantime, if you really can't be there for health reasons, every church I know of in town is streaming their Masses. You can find them just by going to your church's website. You'll find links to how to get to a YouTube or some sort of an electronic streaming of the Mass. Do that. And then many of the churches are giving communion outside after the televised Mass is done for 10, 15, 20 minutes. So if you can watch it in your car maybe, or watch it at home and then drive over to your parish or any parish and receive communion, that's so important. That's such a vital sacrament. The Eucharist feeds us to go out and do what we do as Christians. So you really can't separate the two. So if you've been away from church for a while because of COVID, we're doing the best we can to keep you healthy. Please try and come home. We really miss you, and we know you miss the Eucharist, and you deserve to come back together in the safest way possible. You can also, if you're not listening to this program on the radio right now, or if you know someone who you think would enjoy this program, and hopefully you know someone who would, we are putting this on our podcast at CatholicSpiritRadio.org. You can go to the Catholic Spirit Radio website and link up with our podcast, and you will find past episodes of Good News on there. And we ask that you sit down and listen to those. If you know some teenagers in your life who you think would benefit from this information, please send them our way. In the meantime, Merry Christmas, and thank you for listening today. I hope you'll join us each Saturday and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for more Good News. Remember that the most important decision you'll make is your next one. You can choose to move closer to God or further away. I pray that you will choose wisely. And if you aren't driving, please bow your head and receive God's blessing. May Almighty God bless you, protect you from all evil, and bring you to everlasting life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.